All right, it's 4 minutes after 12. We've got Ali, Prickles. What else do we call you?
All sorts.
Oh, yeah, we call you Wurzel Gummidge as well, don't we? And also we've got Ruben in.
Ruben?
Rupert, Ruben.
Who's that?
And Bobbin.
Oh, there
Bobbin.
We go, that's better. Yeah.
Bobbin's cool, isn't it? Bobbin Dixon.
Yeah, it's good.
And you're a compere.
I am, a comic and a compere.
A comic and a compere.
Multi-talented.
Do you know, respect, because I think comics... I don't know, I've been reading a lot of audiobooks just lately.
Reading audiobooks?
Reading audiobooks, yeah, with my ears.
Oh, nice.
That's what you do. And a lot of them are comics, and they tell you how you know, there's a fine line, and how lonely they can be, and how difficult a job it is. So, a massive, massive respect. So, where can we see you live doing comic?
The White Rock is the main place on the Isle of Wight.
Okay.
To see comedy. We've got dates coming up, flowing out of our ears. We're actually booked there until 2017. Jam-packed.
Crikey.
Mm.
So what sort of, I suppose, observational comedy? Cause it's
my stuff's more storytelling, but a little bit of observational, a little bit crazy. It's all mostly done on a whim, but it works.
Yeah, because comedy's changed so much. I mean, we grew up in an era where people would tell jokes. I think we were talking about this a little while ago. Mike Reed, probably one of the greatest gag tellers ever.
Mm.
But there's no real call for that nowadays. It is all, you know...
You still get people that do the one-liners and stuff, like, you know, Tim Vine and Milton Jones and stuff like that. But they
don't like him.
You've got a... Oh, well, he likes you.
Who's your favourite? Who do you model yourself on, if that's the right term?
I don't know if I do, to be honest. People I admire... People like Bill Bailey, Ricky Gervais. My stuff goes back from 1930s Marx Brothers stuff that I think's, well, you know, massively ahead of their time.
Yeah.
And mine and yours and everyone's, really. But it's fantastic. But you can get influence from everywhere. The stuff Marx Brothers were doing was so ahead of its time in 1932 that people aren't even getting close to that now. There we are.
So when you go and do a gig and you look out and you see a crowd of people, and you know, who are you expecting to see? And just say, for instance, if you're looking at people roughly your own age, it's going to get you, or do you do stuff across the board just in case?
Yeah, it's pretty much can go to all age ranges, to be honest. We get a right mixture coming, to be honest. Like to my shows, I get everyone coming to see me, so it doesn't not see me. That sounds a bit big-headed, doesn't it? But, you know, they mainly come to see everyone else, and I'm just a bit in between that they have to put up with.
How long do you have to do on stage?
Compare inside, I normally do about 15 minutes at the beginning and then about 5-10 minutes in between everyone else.
Yeah.
So we normally have about 5 or 6 comics on.
It's a craft, isn't it? I mean, it really is. Mm. I mean, when you go and
I'm
watch people...
I'm still trying to hone mine in, really. When you ask me what I do, I don't really know. It just sort of comes out.
How long have you been doing it?
I did my first ever gig in 2007, but I didn't do anything again until about 2011, so I had a bit of a gap.
All right.
But, you know, people normally say stuff like, yeah, I just went and found myself. I didn't. I just didn't bother doing anything for ages.
Right.
There we go.
When you hear, you know, the people that... I mean, just say, for instance, Michael McIntyre was a book that we've done in the last year.
He's played at the White Rock.
Has he?
Just before he hit the big time, we played at the White Rock and Ride, yeah.
I mean, it's an audio book well worth listening to.
Well, I've read his actual book. Is it the same? Does he add stuff in?
I would imagine so. I would imagine just a little bit of ad lib now and again.
It's like you're on commission with him that I've got to go and buy the audio book now to
No,
get,
you don't
know,
have to. You
make
have
him
to.
Some more money.
I'll lend it to you.
Okay, brilliant.
Come round my house and we'll share.
Piracy is a crime. Don't lend things. Make sure you get the post permission.
But he won't mind because he'd be helping you out, won't he? And maybe you better buy him a drink a little bit later on. But
yeah, because we're best mates. We hang out all the time, me and McIntyre.
But it's surprising how many of the people that have actually made it really do try and help the people that are still trying to crack it.
Yeah, I've not found them yet, but one day I will.
Maybe, you know, the Isle of Wight must be a difficult place to do that kind of thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think the Isle of Wight's difficult for anything, really, because, you know, there's so many amazing comics here and so many amazing bands and stuff, but no one ever thinks, well, I'm gonna go and get some talent, I'm going to nip over on the Isle of Wight. You have to sort of get off the island stuff, which is a shame because you do need people. There's so many talented people here that they need to be found, I think.
Yeah, there's a young man that was is still with us at Vectors. He was doing David Doyle.
I know, I've gigged with David Doyle. Yeah, I know David. Yeah,
and he's had to kind of put it on the back burner for now because he's got to be doing other things, making a living, and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's slightly more difficult. But you read all these wonderful stories where, you know, they go out and they hone their craft, and then they all of a sudden they think, right, I'm going to go to Scotland and go in this big competition and hopefully, you know, get noticed and hopefully make make a name for themselves. But it is incredibly difficult, isn't it? Because there's so many people out there.
People like Mickey Flanagan and John Bishop were doing the same thing for 12 to 15 years before they got found, if you like.
Yeah.
They were just gigging around the country. And if you want to do it, you can do it. I mean, people, obviously, they enjoyed doing it. Now they enjoy it a little bit more because they're millionaires, but, you know, it's always a bonus.
If you moved to London, would it be easier for you?
Well, I don't know, maybe. I just don't really want to live in London, to be honest.
No, the only good thing about living in London is maybe go see Arsenal once a week, but, you know, once a fortnight.
Not my cup of tea, but no. I've not got enough hatred in me to live in London, to be honest. I think everyone's got to be a bit angry to live here.
Yeah.
I'm not angry enough. Maybe if I go there and come back, I will be, but yeah. I don't want to be.
So what sort of stuff do you do? I mean, was that part of your routine?
Well, just that?
Yeah, no. Just then. It was just off the cuff.
just having a chat.
Yeah. So one person that I really, really admire, and I've read all their book with my ears very recently, was Francesca Martinez.
Okay.
I think she's absolutely awesome. She's very, very talented. And she stumbled upon it. She was in Grange Hill.
Yeah.
And her dad wrote her, because he was apparently a writer, wrote a film for her in which she played a stand-up comic. And she said, you know, she looked at him as if, so how can I do that? And he said, well, you're going to have to go to some college where you learn the stand-up thing. And she did it, and she went along. And she watched people do it for weeks and weeks and weeks and then plucked up the courage to do it. And it would have been roughly at the same time. Do you remember Glenn Hoddle, manager for England?
He had a cracking single out in the 80s, Diamond Lights.
With old, what's his face?
Waddle.
Waddle. Hoddle and Waddle.
Hoddle and Waddle.
Great.
Tune. Absolute tune.
Anyway, he was England manager, and he lost his job as England manager because he said of people that had the disabilities and so on, he said it was karma. Do you remember?
I do remember that.
And she then went out and showed. She wrote a story on off the back of that to her classmates and went out and they said, "Oh, you've got something to say this week." Yeah, she's got something to say. She went up to this on stage and she said, you know, about Glenn Hoddle. Talking about karma and disabilities, and she said, "Well, I must have been a child murderer then." And it was just so funny the way that it came across. But that's how she stumbled upon being a comic. And so how did you suddenly find yourself thinking, here, I'm funny?
Only because people went, basically because I've been an idiot all my life, and people have gone, oh, you should be on stage. And I thought, that's not a compliment, because I'm literally just being an idiot. But then I just thought, well, so many people, I just talk and tell stories and people will enjoy them. I thought, well, I'll just, you know, share it about, see what happens.
So you've been doing it for solidly, what, 4 or 5 years?
About 4 years, properly, yeah.
Do you love it?
Yeah, I do like it, yeah.
Could you do it? Could you see yourself doing anything else?
Well, I do other things.
What do you do then?
I drive a taxi and I'm a nurse.
It's a little, and a nurse as well. Yeah. Oh, is that how you?
Because I thought nurse is not hard enough. I'll just drive a cab as well. You see, why not? It's a bit different.
So you just try any material on people in the taxis?
No,
just can't go anywhere, can they?
Not really. No, I don't. I'll get the obvious question that Mr. Peter Kay did bring to the nation's attention all the time, to which I'll just make up a completely random answer when I get asked if I've been busy. I'll just say, yeah, I'm a beekeeper as well. Like, what? Normally people don't even listen. They'll ask you. They don't care what the answer is. So you've been busy. Yeah, I've been out murdering at the weekend. They don't care.
I've tried that. Because you do. My mum would say, oh, you've been busy. You've been doing much this week. Yeah. Yeah, they do, don't they? And you're probably right. They don't wait around for the answer, do they?
No one listened.
Yeah. So you haven't mentioned Lee Evans. Is Lee Evans someone that you look up to?
Yeah, he was a big influence to me as a kid, actually. But he's got too much energy. I'm not that energetic.
Are you that sweaty on
stage?
Definitely
not. No, I'm not. I've never been that sweaty in my life. Yeah. I think even if you said do the London Marathon, I wouldn't be half as sweaty as that man is ever.
It's incredible. Because are you a fan of Lee Evans?
No.
Why don't you like Lee Evans?
Just his mannerisms. I don't like him.
I think he's just genius.
But I think if I could listen to him without having to watch him,
You can shut your eyes.
Yeah.
No one's forcing it. Just shut your eyes.
Okay.
Is it the sweaty thing?
Buy an audio book. That'll do.
Yeah, that'll do it.
It's a brilliant book, too. I've done that one as well. It really is a brilliant book.
From Towie's churning them out. I haven't done nothing in my life, and then suddenly I've got a book out.
Now, draw the line there.
Yeah, good.
Draw the line there. No,
it's great. I'll tell you what, if you ever want a bonfire... They burn really well.
Do they?
Yeah. You can get them in Poundland now, so it didn't cost you any money. Other pound shops are available, by the way. Thought I'd that in. Don't want to get told off.
Towie, and what's the other thing? The Georgia thing? Georgie Shore?
The Georgian Shore, yeah. They go back to the Georgian times, yeah. No.
What's it? There's about three or four of them, and you think, oh, crap.
Well, the only way is Essex, and then you've got Made in Chelsea, which is exactly the same, just some of them have got more money than the others.
Right.
And dress better. That's it. They come from a better background. Just leave it there.
You sound like an intelligent guy. You sound like the sort of person that I would think, right, I'd like to go and see your stand-up show. Okay, so that is, there's talent there. But you look at these other idiots that are on these programmes, Towie and so on, and you think, hang on, where is the talent?
Well, see, you say that. When I first came to the island, went down to Sandown Pier, and when the Bogies nightclub was open, there was a massive poster up just saying, Arj from The Only Way Is Essex is going to be at Bogies. And I thought, what's he going to do? Just stand up and go, all right, I'm on telly. He didn't DJ, he didn't sing. What's he going to do? Just go, oh, I'm...
Have you seen this
on telly? Come and have a photo with me. No, I'd rather stay in and, I don't know, plait my beard. I haven't got a beard, but...
Well, it's coming on.
Yeah, it's not long enough to plait.
It's not as good as Ali's, but...
Ali's is pretty epic.
Yeah, yeah. I've been practising that for months.
It's like a homeless Santa Claus. It's brilliant.
Have you ever thought of standing out and doing stuff like that?
No, but I think you might have met your match here.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I've told him to have a go at you later.
He can have a go at me, yeah.
But I'm going to take that on board now.
Do you know what the difference is? Is that, you know, I've kind of been where you've been doing those sorts of things for the last X amount of years. And it is, you get to the point where it is like standing, it's so easy. You just go out there and someone puts a microphone into your hand and all of a sudden you're there and you're away again. I mean, the other week I did something similar at your 50th birthday party. And my wife said to me, do you know what, you just fell back straight into it. But the difference is, when you're this side and when you're doing radio, it's so, so different, because you haven't got an audience that you can see. Mm. When you've got an audience you can see, there's your script right in front of you.
You can't bounce off people when you're sat in the room on your own.
Exactly. So when you've got a script out there and you've got people out there, I mean, we were taking the mickey out of everybody, weren't we, including your husband.
It's just about people watching, isn't it?
It is.
You know, because everybody's got their own mannerisms, their own way of speaking, the way they do things. And actually, being a nurse for 15 years... gave me a great insight, you know, to the general public and how different people act. So, yeah.
It's an interesting scenario. And I say that the radio thing, I struggled when we did the crossover thing because you couldn't see anybody. Mm. But when you go out now, it's almost like, do you ever go out? Because I would imagine that it's kind of, when you look at the comedians that go out, they've got a rough idea of what they're going to say.
Yeah.
But do you ever go out and think, no, I'm going to clear my mind, I'm just going to walk out and I'm just going to launch myself into it and see where we go? Or is that dangerous?
I would say that's quite dangerous because... Yeah. The lady that runs the comedy nights, Jan Jones, would probably tell me off a little bit. She doesn't like it when I ad lib. I've got to have a rough plan.
A rough plan?
Yeah, just like, you know, like a really basic treasure map with no X on it, and then just I'll find my way to the end at some point.
Okay, because I would imagine at some point you've got to try new things, haven't you?
Yeah, of course.
And the only way you're going to try new things, yeah, okay, you might be able to, you know, what do you reckon of this? And somebody else will tell you, but you've still got to go out there and do it.
I normally try it on mates. If I'm sat around and I'll just say something, if a group of people I'm with laugh, then I think, right, I'll try that. If they go, that's not on, you can't say that, okay, probably won't then. I'm not going to test that on an audience of paying customers. If my mates don't like it.
Because it's interesting, when you get, you think, you rattle off all these big names, and you think they're just funny. Whatever they're going to say, that they're just funny. But they must be in a similar sort of position to you, same position as you. They got something in their head that may work, it may not.
Well, that's why a lot of them do warm-up tours. That's why they do little warm-up tours that people don't know about, because they want to try and make sure it's perfected when they go on to do the bigger gigs.
How hard is it when you go on those tours then and take, yeah, okay, that works and that works, and then you do it for, I don't know, 30 nights in a row? Does it ever get to a point where it becomes, you know, you have to kind of freshen it up and say things differently?
Or I don't know, because I've never been on one.
You knew it. Well, back time you got your. Yeah, but just say for instance, you're a regular. Every week you do.
Every couple of months we do the White Rock gigs, but I also do stuff in Cowes, a thing called Cowes Speak, which is on like every couple of months, and that's the same sort of thing. I pretty much sort of use that really as a little warm up.
So do you think like okay,
it's lower league warming up, we'll call it.
Yeah, but to me, it doesn't matter what league you're in. You know, if you've got an audience there, and if you're funny, then that's it. It doesn't matter how many people's there.
Yeah.
But do you find yourself if you've done that last month, you won't do that gig again this month? And do you consciously think to yourself, "Right, I won't say that"? Or
yeah, I do because we get a lot of people that have been coming to their Comedy Cavern in Ryde since it started. So a lot of people they know the same stuff. So I'm quite wary of not repeating myself because you know it's like. Just sat there listening to the same stuff every month, and people don't want to hear it. So we've got to try and come up with new stuff, which is quite a challenge. But I kind of like it in a way, because otherwise I would just be doing the same old stuff for years and years. I mean, I'm not Ken Dodd, you know.
But Ken Dodd's. I mean, you mentioned him earlier on.
I did, and only because I wanted him to do a collaboration with P Diddy, so we could have Diddy and Doddy. I thought it'd be quite good.
Diddy and Doddy.
I would like that.
It has to be Doddy and Diddy.
Surely.
Doddy and Diddy sounds better, and plus his name's first, doesn't it?
Doddy, I suppose, so as he's older he must get priority.
But you know what, my mum went to see him years ago and apparently he's on stage for hours.
My auntie went. I don't know if my cousin's listening, but his mum, she went to see him, and it was about 4 hours and he just didn't stop.
He actually told everybody when he started, look phone your babysitters because you're not going to get out on time. And you could just hear him doing it, can't you? But he's just such a... Because I grew up... I don't know about you, Ali, but I grew up... I wasn't really a fan of Ken Dodd.
I wasn't really a fan of many comedians that, when I was a child, you know, it's like the likes of Benny Hill. They weren't particularly funny.
To you?
Maybe I was just too young to...
Maybe.
You know, but even now, if you were to say to me, go and watch Benny Hill, I'd be like, oh, no, I really don't
want to. You'd struggle now, to be honest.
It's
a little bit dead.
But they weren't particularly funny. You know, I get the scenario that someone comes on and you can just laugh at them, because I'll tell you, someone that used to do that for me was Angus Deaton. Used to just absolutely make me crack up, and he didn't have to say anything.
You know, talking of crack up, that's kind of why he's lost his job at the BBC.
Yeah, I know that, but he was kind of very droll, wasn't he?
Scripted.
Not always.
Oh, do you know what? He's one of those guys that just used to annoy me because he was so smug and arrogant about it.
But that was part of his act, I think. And I used to just find that funny. You know, but like I said, it's a good job we don't all like
the same
thing.
If he's listening, which is a very slim chance, I'm sure he's glad he's got one fan left.
Yeah, I'll put him on my Facebook page.
Would you?
No.
No.
Not that far. I don't like him that much.
So when you say you didn't like the comedians back then, I mean, you know, who was the first person we just mentioned then? Ken Dodd, as a child, never liked him.
No.
But as you got older, you thought you could see the talent, but you can't still.
No, even now I can't.
Really?
No, honestly.
Okay, well, who else was it around?
Cause Benny Hill.
Let's be honest. Yeah, but proper
Les
comedians.
Les Dawson was just a slimy little fat man who used to make jokes about his mother-in-law.
Yeah, but he was funny.
Yeah, but he really wasn't.
I mean, you know,
he was because he had quite
arrogant.
A good career, let's be honest.
And I'm not disputing that, but he was quite arrogant and quite, well, you're going to laugh at me because I'm here and I'm laughable, but... It just didn't do it for me.
It's funny how, you know, you come to that impression. I didn't get that impression at all, but it all comes down to personality.
It does.
If you like someone, you like someone, and if you don't, you don't. But, you know, you look at Les Dawson, again, I never really used to like him when I was younger, but as you get older, you see the talent.
See, I never liked Bob Monkhouse as a kid, because
he was just
a really bad quiz show host, but then you got to actually appreciate...
What he actually did.
Yeah, genius. Absolute genius. And his stand-up's fantastic.
There aren't many people that are as clever as he. You know, he. I've seen so many different things. Like you say, you look at him and you think, golden shot. and other TV. I think he's done about nine.
Wipeout. Celebrity about, Squares.
Celebrity Squares was great, but about nine of them, he holds the record for, you know, but see him do the stand-up thing. I was remember him doing something, an audience with, and he would go round the audience. He would start with that person, and there'd be a story that connects to another celebrity, and all of us. And he would go all the way around the room and come back to that one, and with a story on. And I say it's just so clever. His mind must have been absolutely awesome. You know, to just imagine what he'd be like today as a comic. Then, I mean, because I think then...
I don't know, I think maybe he was around at the right time. Would he fit in today? Would his stuff work today? That's what you got to think.
Yeah.
As you said at the beginning, stuff's changing. Like, would it work today?
Yeah. But he's got that mind of what's funny and what's not. I mean, there was just a great... There's so many great stories. We used to do a thing called Classic Comedy Clips, and we just play them. And one of them was where he's talking about his wife thinks he's having an affair, and he cleaned the car. He cleaned the car, and he said something about the rain came down and saw the footprints on the windscreen and so on, and his wife knew that he was having an affair, but it's just the way that he told it was absolutely awesome. But I say, he was totally different to Mike Reed. Mike Reed would tell gags, but he would tell the most awful gags that were funny. He'd make them funny. And I say that it was an art form, and it was totally different back then. I mean, one guy that I used to have to look at him and he'd make me laugh. Just like, who was the guy that you said to Stan?
Angus Deaton,
Bobby Ball. Just used to have to look at his face and he'd make a little face and he'd do that thing with his, and that would crack me up. But you look at it now and you think, well, hang on, that's not funny.
There's a lot of people's faces I look at and laugh, but they're not normally comedians, I'll be honest. Just go, look at their face.
Cracked up when you came in, didn't you?
That's what I've met you before. I got all that out.
What makes you laugh, though? Because it must be, you know, it must be really difficult if you're like one of those people that is like, you know, you're finding the funny things and you're used to having a laugh and making people laugh. What happens when...
Weirdly enough, I don't laugh at what I say, but there's rare things that make me laugh. But one thing the other day, I'm still actually finding it hilarious, was there's a weird thing, because I look slightly different, tattoos and 6'4" and, you know, body like a cow, it's kind of like, minus the udders obviously, it's a little bit weird that kids stare at me. It's really bizarre. They do like a double take, look at me and then look back and I go, oh my god, and then just stare. And about 2 weeks ago, a kid was holding his mum's hand walking along and was just looking back and staring at me and walked into a lamppost. Other people might not find that funny, but that cracked me up for about 2 weeks. Because I thought, yeah, that
poor
pay
child.
Attention. No, pay attention to what you're doing, stop staring at me. Because you can't say, stop staring at me, because a parent will have a go at you. But yeah, it's brilliant. That made me laugh. People texting and walking into stuff. That's mainly people walking into things, I think, makes me laugh. That's about it.
Does sort me, of, and when they trip over and stuff. You know, you're walking behind someone and they kind of fall off the side of the pavement, like they didn't know it was there. And yeah, that makes me laugh.
That's
too.
Sick, Ali. Sick.
It is.
Disgusting. Try and make it lighthearted and you just take it down dark street. Horrible.
See, that silence is now making her feel
not,
even more awkward.
It's not, because I know my makeup's going to run in a minute through laughing.
What about people like, you know, Jim Davidson and, you know, is it funny?
To me, no.
No?
No, right, he's where I don't want to get to.
Right.
He's for me, he's like the kind of goal of, yeah, I don't really want to get to that level. Someone says you're going down that path, I'll quickly change direction.
Right, okay.
Definitely. I'm sure he's a lovely bloke. And it's weird when you watch stuff on telly when you're a kid and you think, you remember loving this certain thing that you used to watch, and then you watch it again when you're older. Like Big Break, for example. I used to love that as a kid. It was on Challenge the other day. Watched it. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's absolute cack television.
Agree.
And I used to love that.
Yeah. But do you think that over the years it's kind of, when you see what they were doing, what they were getting away with, and there was a Mancunian guy that used to, he was quite racist, quite rude and so on and so forth.
But stuff like that was acceptable then.
Exactly.
Times change. There's stuff that then wouldn't have been called racist that now, you know, now would be. This has gone a bit deep, hasn't it?
No, do you have to be careful what you say? Do you think, oh, crap,
well,
I'm
no,
just offended
I'm not
that
racist.
Person? No, but even when it comes down to not being a racist, you know, because of political correctness.
To be fair, I don't care about offending people. I will never be racist, because I despise racism and everything it stands for.
Sure.
Like, I hate it.
Absolutely.
Stuff I might say, people might think, oh, that's a bit it's a bit dark, but yeah, I mean, they shouldn't get offended about it. If you don't like it, then just get over it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not going out my way to upset people. I'd never do that. But if people, no one's going to like everything someone says. No one is. But if someone doesn't like it, then that's their problem.
And let's be honest, if you're going to go out and see a comic, you know that there's going to be a level up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. If you go out, you go out to a comedy night and you go, oh, I didn't really like that. It was a comedy night. You might like some other stuff someone else says, or something else the same person says. But if you don't like it, people moaning that they might, oh, a bit too sweary. Well, don't watch it again.
Yeah, no, it must be so. It probably even more pressure on people like yourself nowadays when you go out and you're going to do an event and you're going to do a gig and you're going to talk about something, and you look out in the audience and the similar person that you're talking about is there right in front of you, and they might deem it offensive.
But then I know that my stuff's not about certain types of people, as in, like, if I had someone come in with a wheelchair, I wouldn't be mocking them because they're in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
that wouldn't even come into my head. Do you know what I mean?
No, but just say, for instance, somebody is not, you don't see them in a wheelchair, but when they stand up, they are, or not when they stand up.
Hang on a minute,
they won't be in a wheelchair.
Hang on a minute,
what's going on here?
Jesus is in.
Jesus did used to ride around in a wheelchair. Actually, yeah, I read a
four
version.
Wheel model.
Oh, of course, yeah.
All right. Can we play some comedy?
Let's do it.
One of my favourites is this particular lady.
But I'm getting on a bit in age. I'm in my 30s. Any other people in their 30s? Yes. I'm tired. I'm tired. I did worry before I turned 30 about turning 30. I asked a few of my friends who were also approaching their 30th birthday. They thought it was going to affect them. One guy said it means I'm closer to retirement, which I thought was a good, positive way of looking at it. But my favourite answer came from a bloke who said, I just need to make it to 34 and I've beaten Jesus at living.
Joe, she's a funny lady.
She is.
But when you look at her, she's done 3 tours in the last couple of years, and they've turned them into DVDs, and they're really, really funny. And then she did a load of TV stuff, and it was almost like my wife and I sort of said, she's kind of sold out a little bit.
No, I think she did all right with the TV. She's obviously been offered stuff because she's a talent, and people are going to try and want to get her on telly and stuff for viewing figures. That's all it's about, isn't it? People want people to watch certain channels.
Sure.
But there was
for sure.
It was a really weird... She did this... I can't remember what its name was. It was her, like, I think it was just called the Sarah Millican television programme, where she'd have certain guests on. And it was very weird set up because she'd be sat on a sofa talking to the audience, then she'd just get up, stand in the middle of the stage, talk to the audience, then go back and sit down and talk to the audience. So I'd just sit down.
Yeah.
Why are you getting up? Or just stay up.
But she was just funny, but it was turning it into a TV show. It's a bit like John Bishop at the moment. I think John Bishop is another, I think he's a fabulous comic. I think he comes across as a really, really nice, down-to-earth kind of guy. He is funny, there's no two ways about it, but you look at the TV programme and you think, you're almost going back to, the Ken Dodd era and trying to do those kind of things.
Yeah, but then it's all about money, isn't it? They're going to be offered money to do this certain stuff and, and if anyone's listening, I ain't going to say no. So send me to Australia. I'll go look at some dolphins. I don't care.
He's kind of overexposed, though, isn't he, John Bishop, at the moment?
Did he flash at you in the street? No. He didn't?
No.
Okay.
No,
he did to me. Really weird.
I just think they think we found this talent in John Bishop, and 7 or 8 years ago, he was hilarious, wasn't he? Because everybody could relate to what he was saying about the children and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just think they've overexposed him now, and you sort of think, oh, John Bishop's on again tonight.
I can see what you mean. He's scraping the barrel a bit. It's just sort of like, ears get so hairy. It's like, yeah. Yeah, they do, yeah. That's it.
Right.
There's no like, oh, yeah, they do. No, nothing. Yeah, that's correct, John.
They do.
You can buy ear and nose trimmers, combi, from Boots.
Or use your wife's tweezers.
Other shops are available.
Do you ever think, though, you sound like a talented guy. Do you ever think, I love what I'm doing, but I wish I had a big break?
Well, I think any person doing comedy on any level wants a big break. I think everyone does. It's natural, isn't it? You're going to want to, want exposure and stuff. I just like doing it. If it goes somewhere, brilliant. If not, I'm happy, I do need a new car. Well, I need a car. I don't even have one, to be honest. So I wouldn't mind a big break.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
That's not a link back to Jim Davidson when I'm no, keep saying a big break, by the way.
You didn't like that, did you?
No, don't want to go down that path. Definitely not.
Ah, but you used to like it, that's the thing.
Yeah, when I was about 8. Yeah.
Before he could drive.
Yeah.
Do you, I think about this a lot. Sometimes we think that we're funnier when we've had a drink. When do you think of your most at your best material? Do you just say, for instance, if you thought of your best material when you'd had a few drinks, do you then have a few drinks deliberately to try and think of material?
No, the worst thing is, if I'm laying in bed and I'll just, you know, you're just drifting off and you think about stuff.
You
it's
have
not
an idea.
Sheep. Just, I'd literally think, worst oh, thing that's in the brilliant. World.
Yeah.
But then I can't be bothered to get up and write it down, and then I wake up in the morning and go, oh, I don't know what that was.
So all
that
happens stuff.
All the time. So actually, yeah. I could be at the O2 now, but I just can't be bothered to get up and get a bit of paper. That's what's stopping me, laziness. Yeah.
Do you have a partner?
As in a comedy partner or an actual
woman? No, when you're in
woman.
Bed, when you're thinking of
oh,
these
yes,
things.
Oh, yes, I do,
are
yes.
You worried
secretary. About, are you worried about waking her up? You know, are you worried about, you know...
No, I don't worry about that.
Well,
she'll get over
why
it.
You just have a pen and something by the side of me?
Because I would sleep against the wall, you see, so I'd have
right
to clamber over and I wouldn't... oh, my God, yes, I will. Fantastic.
Right on the wall,
that's
why
it.
Not?
Why have you got a canvas hanging out? There's no picture on it. You'll see.
Yeah.
Or I was going to get a tattoo of like a scroll on my arm, just write on that. But yeah. Then I'll probably wake up in the morning and it'll all be spludged. That's not even a real word, is it? Smudged. And then I won't know what it is. It'll come out wrong.
But that's it'll stain the sheets.
I'm not worried about that. She does the washing.
That's
not
that's
my problem.
That's what you could do. I mean, you know, just have something because you know you've got to have some material. There was otherwise this stuff could be gold, couldn't it? Comedy
it
gold.
Could be. I
you don't
thinking,
know. You can't remember.
No, see. Am I asleep now? I don't know what's going on. This could be all a dream.
You know, this is going to turn out to be a routine. You know, you could do that. Yeah,
I could do. Yeah, I'm not giving you any credit for it.
No,
you're not getting any money because I don't get any, so I can't give you any percentages.
Coming back to the, I mean, because some people, when you go back in time, or even now, when people write new music, they say the Beatles were high as a kite a lot of the time. You know,
of course they were. I mean, I just want to talk about the Beatles quick because anyone that says, oh no, they weren't on drugs, just lay out all their album covers in chronological order, then you'll get to Sgt. Pepper's. At that point, I would have gone, are you guys on drugs? No, we're not. Are you sure? No. Then Magical Mysteries Tour comes out, where they're on the front dressed as walruses. I'll be like, right, what are you taking?
Yeah,
straight away.
What's up? But do you, I'm not, I don't want you to sort of...
Are you asking if I'm on drugs?
On drugs.
Definitely not.
No, he's natural.
No. High on life, as they say.
But do you think, right, okay, well, I write better or I think better when I've had a few drinks. So do you then deliberately have a few drinks?
I'm worried this is like a secret AA meeting. You're trying to get out of me that I'm a drunk. I'm not.
He needs a lift in your taxi.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't want to answer the question then?
No, I don't find I do, to be honest.
are you sober most of the time when you're thinking of your material?
I wouldn't go sober, but no. I'm just funny. All no, right. That's well big-headed, it. I can't say that. I'm not.
All right, so...
I can't. When I have a drink, I just want to go to sleep. That's what happens. And then when I'm asleep, I think, yeah, I'm going to... Oh, and then I forget it. So maybe it is the drink that's helped me, and then I just... It's laziness. Back to laziness.
Do you find you are when you're... you're anywhere. You could be having a meal, you could be walking down the town, you could be doing it right now, where you're analysing something and thinking, I could make this into being funny. There's a story there. So you've got the thing there.
I've got a notepad, you see.
Notepad.
Carrying a little notepad.
And can't be bothered to put it by the bedside, though.
No. Stays in the living room.
All your genius stuff could be happening when you're half asleep.
Literally, all that's written on here is dates of the comedy. There's nothing in it. It's just blank. It's got a couple of dates on it.
Do you ever switch off, though, when you're thinking that? You know, when you are, because you know that everything you do or you may say or you bump into and meet is going to be or could be part of your act. Do you ever, like, switch off?
No, I'm always trying to look for new stuff.
Yeah.
Always. And a lot of the time, again, I forget my notepad. So what I need is someone to just...
Get you a notepad.
Just, yeah, have one surgically attached to my leg or something.
Yeah. Or you could just have somebody that sleeps on a lower bunk, that side, and you could just sort of whisper so you don't wake up, you know, next door. Just whisper.
Yeah, I'll get a PA, a live-in PA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have an Oompa Loompa or something like that. Someone small.
Yeah,
okay.
That go down well with the other half.
She'd love that.
A little Oompa Loompa.
Who's this little orange person?
It's not a pet.
I didn't say it was. You brought that in. I'll just shave the back of the dog and write it in that. Permanent marker.
There you go. We're finding ways of helping you.
That's it. Sorted. I'm getting ways. If I go home and someone's like, why have you shaved the dog? No reason. Thought it needed a jab.
Yeah, don't read that though, because that's I'm doing that tonight. You could come along and see.
Why does it say sausages, kids walking into stuff? Oh, I'd ignore that. Don't worry, the dog did it. Nothing to do with me.
All right, okay. So those dates. Let's talk dates. Let's promote.
Well, let's promote the White Rock. So, if anyone doesn't know where the White Rock is, it's off Lynn Street in Ryde, and it's a fantastic little venue. It's like I would call it the hidden gem of the Isle of Wight. A lot of people know, when I describe it, people go, mostly men, to be fair, go, is that the one that used to be the topless bar? Yeah, it was, actually, yeah. Weirdly enough, yeah, it was. Unfortunately, I didn't get to go to it when it was a topless bar. I've tried to bring it back by me being topless, but no one's ever come in. So that's obviously not selling anything. But on the 4th of July, we've got a guy called Aidan Goatley. He's very up and coming. He's been up the Edinburgh Fringe loads of times. He's doing this certain tour called 10 Films with My Dad that I think it's on its 200th show now. He's on a tour this year. He's coming on the 4th of July. I'm supporting him, which is quite an honour, really, because he personally asked me, which is a bit... Ooh. I think someone else had a bit of a wink, nudge towards it. But, you know, it's nice. But it's going to be a fantastic show, because, as I say, he's been at the Edinburgh Fringe. He's done so much. I reckon a year and he'll be the next big comic.
Lots
and we're
of
really
people,
lucky to get him.
Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic, because there's a lot of people that go up to that Edinburgh and they do crack the big
time.
Yeah,
I've gigged with a few people that have been up there, and it is... I was under the impression it was... I know it's a big deal, and it's a big event, but I was under the impression there wasn't that many kind of comedy stuff going on, but it is just... There's so much going on up there, but to sort of be on your 200th show and your, I think, fifth year he's been at the Fringe,
right,
which is amazing. Like, really good. They keep asking him back. So he's obviously doing something right. So, yeah, come down on the 4th of July. Tickets are £6.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, it's a bargain, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a reason plus drinks. Yeah.
So you're there?
I'm there.
How long are you going to be on for?
I'll probably be on for about 25 minutes to half an hour, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I think it was one of the comedians we've already mentioned that they said right early in their career they asked her if they would do a 20-minute set and she said it was Francesca Martinez, I've only got 5 minutes. How long will it be before you'll have 25 minutes? So I would imagine you've been around a few years now, so you could pull all your material and make up a set. How difficult is it to put a 25-minute set together?
Without sounding arrogant, it's I've probably if I. crammed everything together, I could probably stretch to 50 minutes.
Right.
But I did struggle once at the Anchor because they said it was like 7 o'clock on a Sunday and they said, oh, you can't swear. So, well, not even the occasional F. Don't worry, I'm not actually going to swear. They said, oh, I said, no, you can't. So I went down from 50 minutes to 13, which is a struggle, but I managed.
All right, we'll take a break and we come back. It's 19 minutes to one.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240.
The Castle St Helens, superb self-catering accommodation in St Helens, open all year, just a short walk from the beach. Full details, including availability and offers, can be found on our website at www.sthelenscastle.co.uk. It's also the perfect place to book if you have relatives coming to visit you on the island, with special rates available for bookings made from Isle of Wight addresses. Contact us on www.sthelenscastle.co.uk or on 01983 875 993, that's 875 993, to book your perfect getaway on the Isle of Wight. Also see the Facebook page for the castle for more details.
Whiteside, here's how it works. You need glasses? Visit an optician, then bring your prescription along to the friendly team in Cross Street, Ryde. Whiteside is a boutique shop selling budget to designer frames and sunglasses, stockists of Dior, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, Ray-Ban and many more. They are an independent retailer, so you can shop locally for first-class service and great glasses. You'll be spoilt for choice. Either visit them in Cross Street, Ryde, or check out www.whiteside.co.uk.
Care Learning Centre offers high quality training in real workplaces, giving an authentic working experience. They also offer a functional skills scheme to help with young people's essential maths, English and ICT skills. Get in touch by emailing info@carelearningcentre.co.uk, visit www.carelearningcentre.co.uk or call the centre on 01983 533 993.
Do you feel like you could be getting more out of your life? Are you looking to make changes to improve your life, but don't know where to start? Would you like to be happier, more confident, more relaxed? Good news, you've come to the right place and I know I can help. I know I can help because I've been through some truly terrible times myself, but I'm still here to tell the tales and I'm the happiest I've ever been, thanks to learning some secrets that I want to share with you. I'm Maggie Curry, and over the last decade I've helped many people who were in challenging situations and who wanted to be in a more powerful or confident position. My coaching speciality is confidence building and is truly life-changing. And if that is something you'd like to experience, then please do get in touch via email at hello@maggiecurry.co.uk or by phone on 01983 754 666 or, of course, through the Vectis Radio website.
Join us for the mid-morning show, Mondays to Thursdays between 10 and 12. It's a bit like Big Brother. There's always one person that will be winding you up. I'm guessing that's me. A vain one, always checking themselves in the mirror and fiddling with their hair. Maxine Finesse, a.k.a. the Floozy. There's always a mumsy one as well, and that'll be Bex Roncaroni. And there'll be your troublemakers too, in the shape of Ali Hayden. And of course, there's always a saucy one, Dame Shirley. Join us Mondays to Thursdays, 10 till 12, only on Vectis Radio.
This is Vectis Radio. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Vectis Radio.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Okay, we're back. It's quarter to one. We've got Prickles in, Ali, and we've also got Bobbin.
Hi.
And it's Bobbin Dixon.
It is, yeah.
That's your real name, Dixon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Bobbin is obviously a nickname.
No, it's my real name. My parents hated me from birth. Yeah, that's my real name.
Bobbin.
Yeah.
Which obviously isn't your real name, and we've been guessing.
You my real name, and then I'll tell you what I want my middle name to be, and then you can sort of piece it together and make your own joke out of it.
is this a bit like Alan Carr and Gok Kwan?
No, I'm not homosexual. Oh, no, I see what you mean. Right, I'm with you now. Yeah, I'm with you now.
Okay. Hey, look, you got some things you want to plug. So you plug
away.
Yeah,
well, I just want to plug the Comedy Cavern at the White Rock. I've mentioned the Aidan Goatley thing, which is going to be a good night. Comedy Cavern, we've actually got dates. As I said, we're booked there with comics booked into play. They're all mainland-based till 2017, which is pretty good. The next one is the 21st of August, which is our one-year birthday party, which is going to be epic. We've got, you mentioned Sarah Millican, we've got an amazing female sort of, she's comedian, like musical comedian. She's doing really well. She's played like, do you know what? It's really bad. I forgot the name of it. The Comedy Club in London. Is it just called the Comedy Club?
Comedy Club in London.
Yeah, that'll do. Yeah, that's it. The Comedy Store. That's the one I was looking for.
Comedy Store.
Yeah, tip of the tongue there. She's played there a few times. Her name's Jenny Beek. She's got stuff on YouTube. Check her out. We've also got a guy called Liam Smith. We've got a guy called Steve Balding. I don't think he's any relation to Claire, but I'm not sure about that. And another one, not sure how to pronounce his surname. Her first name's Karen.
Right.
And her surname, I'm going to go with Saich. It's S-A-I-C-H.
That's about right, isn't
it? Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah.
She's probably got a real posh way of saying it.
Oh, Karen Saich. If she doesn't talk like that when I meet her, I'll be really upset. Hello, I'm here to do the Comedy Club.
So are these people local? Are they?
These are all mainland-based, all around the country, up-and-coming people.
Do we have any local talent here?
I mean, we mentioned right in front of you, mate.
We mentioned...
I mean?
No, but there must be others as well. I mean, you're not just on your
own, there's a couple... there's a few comedians on the island, and there's things on the island. There's so many talented people like that do comedy mixed with other stuff. You've got like Huxley, the magician, who does comedy with his acts. You've got Benny Curtis, who's like an actor and comedian that we work with at Cowspeak. You've got Adam Gatchell that does like his punk puppetry. There's loads of people on the island. David Doyle, who you've already mentioned, that does stand up. Loads of people.
Does that make it easier for you? Because otherwise you'd
it's
be
It's easier
because
I work with most of them, so it's like there's no rivalry.
No.
I'm not going to have like a comedian turf war. I don't know how that would work, just ganging up with little like, I don't know, feather dusters and stuff. That's Ken Dodd on the other side on his own army. Trying to be the mediator in the middle.
But it obviously makes it easier for them. Otherwise, it's, you know, if you're the only one, it's all, there's that comedian over there. But it's easier having other people doing it as well.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's good.
Do you ever think that this can grow to a bigger level instead of once a month? You're thinking, right, come on, let's do it.
We've sold out a couple of times, which is a really good sign that people are interested, and it's just trying to get more people to know about it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, as I said, we've got the venue and the comedians booked to 2017, which is fantastic, and we're just trying to get more people to come along, and slowly but surely it's happening. Word of mouth and advertising, it's working, because more people are coming now who've never been before, which is brilliant, which is what we want.
And let's be honest, most people nowadays, all they need is a damn good laugh, don't they?
Yeah.
And it's right here on your doorstep.
Yeah, completely. That's the thing. Like, I find it weird because I'm not from the island. Island mentality is a bit bizarre, where like, oh no, I can't go to Wootton. Why not? Oh, 20 minutes. Oh, it's 20 minutes. You wouldn't like, if you lived in Kent, going, oh, Ashford to Maidstone, 20 minutes. Oh, that's all right, no worries.
Yeah.
When it's on the island, oh God, I can't do that. Like, you can. Go to ride on a Friday night. Have a good night. It's £10. You've got... This 21st of August one, we've got a book. There's a buffet as well.
Stay over.
£10, five comedians and a buffet and some drinks. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong for that. That's value for money, that is.
You must have an awful lot of material just on island life, haven't you?
I've got a bit, yeah. I've got just a bit, yeah.
Because we love to moan, but we don't like change.
Well, I drove to ride on Friday night to go down to White Rock.
And you had loads
from
of drinks.
From Arrowton. That was 25 minutes.
Really?
How slow do you drive?
Yeah,
25 minutes? Flip it out.
There was other traffic on the road.
Where did you go? Via Benbridge? Crikey.
So, you've got enough material now for another couple of sessions?
Yeah, I've got plenty. Got plenty.
Do you ever do the thing? Because one of my favourites was going into an audience and doing looky-likey with people. You know, that's...
Oh, if someone looks ridiculous, I'm going to... We had a bloke the other day that was literally stood at the back dressed like... He didn't mean to. He probably didn't think this is going to be what I'm going to wear, but he was dressed like a 60s mafia boss. But he was so pale, he looked like a dressed egg.
That's what you called him, wasn't it?
I did
you
call
said
him
there's a fully dressed egg at the back.
And he was brilliant, because this guy was going along with it. I think he'd had a bit too many brandies, but he just kept going, yes, it's good, there. I was like, oh, he's loving this. It was honestly...
That was John from Shanklin.
Oh, there we go. See? Everyone knows everyone on the Isle of Wight. You know Big John from Shanklin. Don't mess with him. He'll put a horse's head in your bed. It wouldn't be a horse's head. It wouldn't be that harsh. But look, a kitten's ear or something on your bed. We're not that bad on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
Don't mess with John from Shanklin. He knows people. And he's got scissors.
Do you ever worry of dealing with people that, you know, come out and have a bit of a, you know...
Oh, no, I love it. I don't get enough hecklers. I love it. I do. Like, some bloke started heckling me once. It was like, you know, looked like a bit of an ex-skinhead, and he was about 25. Then he opened his mouth. He was extremely camp-speak, and his name was Barry. I thought, you are just... You're an hour's worth of material on your own.
Barry.
It's fantastic.
Barry.
I said, oh, you're shouting at me. What's your name? My name's Barry. Oh, is it? Brilliant. Barry the Camp Ex-Skinhead. Fantastic.
Well, how did you come to the conclusion he was an ex-skinhead? Is his,
well,
his hair fallen out?
He had the shaved head, but he didn't have the... He had the Doc Martens, but not the turn-ups. That goes to show that he's an ex-skinhead. He's not committed. And if you're not committed enough to turning up your trousers, you're not a skinhead anymore. That's how it works.
Now, obviously, you have to think on your feet a lot. And if somebody gives
sometimes
you a bit of...
Sometimes I'll do it sitting down.
If somebody comes, gives you a bit of stick, you've got to come back at them.
Yeah, completely.
So we mentioned about material and trying out new material. Do you think, right, okay, this crowd, you know, you've got to have a rough idea. When you go on stage...
Yeah, because the brilliant thing is, I sit outside, and like what happened the other night, an extremely posh couple that turned out they were having an affair were just chatting to me, not knowing I was the compere. So as soon as I went on stage, they both went, oh, God. It was brilliant. I was like, you two married? They were like, yes, but not to each other. Don't tell anyone. Brilliant. You've just told a compere not to tell anyone.
So, did
you're
you?
Screwed.
Did
oh,
you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I've got an ad coming out in the county press as well.
And a photo.
And a photo, yeah.
So where do you see yourself in 5 years? What do you want to be doing?
Oh, you can't ask me that. It's like
yeah,
a job. No, because I don't know.
Well,
what I'm doing
do
in 5 minutes.
What do you want to do?
Where
do you want to be?
Where do I want to be in five years? Hopefully alive would be a good start.
Yeah.
For me, that's like... From there, I'll work backwards. As long as I'm alive, I can sort of work back from there what I want to do.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever, I mean, I'll take
it. What do you want to do then?
I wanted to be a stuntman when I was little, but, you know, the growth of CGI and the fact that I've got a bit portly, it's not going to happen anymore, I don't think. Unless they need to call for a stuntman with a guy with bad legs and a fat belly, I'm in. Let's hope Ray Winston's doing a biopic of his life and I have to play the younger version. I'll be perfect. As long as I don't talk. I'm not that gruff.
Would you love to be, you know, doing things that John Bishop's doing, filling out arenas and stuff?
Like, yeah, that'd be good, that side of it. But I'm not running marathons and cycling the country.
No, I don't blame you for that.
I'd do stuff for charity, but I wouldn't be able to do that. I'd let everyone down if I did that. Yeah. Like David Williams, oh, I'm going to swim the Thames. Oh, he's got from Bicester to Oxford. That'd be it. I'd be done. Wouldn't be able
you could
to do
swim the Medina.
Swim the Medina. No, because
there's two ways.
I think my knees would melt if I swam in the Medina. Yeah. It's like an it'd be more like it's a knockout. I've ordered nappies and shopping trolleys swimming in there.
So, is there anybody around Isle of Wight wise that you look at and think they really are talented and we should get behind them? Give them a
in
plug.
Terms of what? In comedy or
yeah,
music?
Comedy. I mean, the music. We do an awful lot of plug-in and we get a lot of bands in. We had a band called the Rainbow Mandrills last week and they were really, really talented and are really talented. The guy that is lead singer has got a wonderful story to tell. The story is that he's had ME for all of the 90s and he spent his time on his back. There's many a gag there.
I hope he's not energetic on stage because that's his benefits gone, isn't it? Sorry. Sorry.
Open goal. But he wrote all these songs and now he's like producing them. He's got people coming in and making it. So and he's an incredible talent. They come in. They did an hour long session. So we do a lot of things for bands. There's things like Postfest, which promotes local music.
Oh, brilliant.
But there doesn't seem to be a massive amount that would promote the things that you do.
There's not that many. I mean, there's a lot. As I said, there's a lot of talented people on the Isle of Wight, but there's not that many comedians, to be honest. Not many stand-ups. Like I could probably only name like. Three or four, really. I'm not going to because bugging me at the moment. Me and the comedy covered
competition.
But I mentioned David only because he works here. We're allowed to do that.
But don't you think that the festival, the Isle of Wight Festival, was
the Isle of Wight Festival needs to have a comedy tent. That's what they need to have because they have one at Best of All. I've applied and Jan Jones, mention her again, little plug. I know she's listening because she runs all the comedy cover nights. She's been. Well, I basically have to pester her and then she pesters them to try and get me into Best of All, which would be good. And Best of All does have a comedy tent. They have loads of up-and-coming comics there, but nothing for the Isle of Wight Festival.
What I was going to say is that there seems to be this massive conveyor belt for local music.
Yeah, there's loads.
And if there was something similar for, you know, a comedy club.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. Even South Coast comics, even sort of people from Bournemouth, Southsea, you know, Portsmouth, Southampton, that'd be fantastic. There's a lot of stuff on the mainland for it, a lot of open mic nights you can go to and things like that, but there's not really anything on the island. Which we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're bang on. I was going to do my gag about the... but I have to do that off air because I tested it on you last week, didn't we?
Yeah, and it wasn't funny.
You've had many things tested on you, haven't you? That's why your hair's a funny colour.
Oh, you touched on something there. What's happening on Friday? Come on, tell us. There's some material here.
No. I'm going to be a model at the college.
Like a nude model?
Naked.
Yeah, that's nude and naked are the same word.
No, glad you not. Said that.
Okay, what? What do you mean, no, they're not?
Naked of makeup. I'm having my makeup done by my niece who's at college.
Right, because if you said to anyone, I'm going to be a naked model, they're not going to be thinking, they're not going to go, makeup or clothing. They're going to go, she's going to get her kit off.
And I've tormented Ian all morning.
By getting your kit off? Is that why he looks so scared?
You just imagine, you know, the tickets are a sellout now, and they're all going to turn out and go, ah, is that it?
Lining the streets of the Medina.
They are. Oh,
it's just a woman with Cleopatra's haircut with no makeup on. It's disappointing.
When can we see you next on stage?
21st. Oh, no, that's a lie. Ignore that. 4th of July, supporting Odin Goatley.
Okay. Anybody else coming along there? It'll be a whole night with
it's
you.
It's going to be a whole night. Aidan will do probably about an hour and a half. If he isn't planning that, he's going to have to now because I've said it on the radio. So if you're listening, hour and a half, please. You might even do more. You never know if you're lucky. 4 hours, please. Do a Ken Dodd on us. Come on.
Lock the doors.
Yeah, lock the doors.
Tell your babysitters. We won't be home for at least a couple of
hours.
But
it's going to be such a good show. Like, he's unbelievably talented. You can check some of his stuff out on YouTube, but it's going to be epic. I use that word, epic. They use that to describe Lord of the Rings, and I think this is on the same kind of level. You know, he's a bit short, looks a bit like a hobbit. I'm a bit, you know, tall like one of them trees. There's similarities there. Somewhere.
Okay.
I've got to stop rambling now. You need to stop me.
4th of July. Tickets £6?
£6. Tickets are available from the White Rock.
Okay.
And you can always Facebook, Twitter, go on Facebook or tweet Jan Jones. She is the goddess with the tickets.
I wonder what you were going to say then.
She's not a goddess, but she's a tickets. Goddess when she's got tickets.
She's got lovely tickets.
And she turns in. She's only a goddess when she gets rid of all her tickets. When she isn't, she's like a demon. But right. We love her.
Hey, look, we've run out of time. Great to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Good luck on the 4th.
Thank you.
You come back again?
Any time.
Excellent.
Please don't forget the 21st of August. It's going to be a hoot as well.
Okay. All right.
Good.
Cheers.
No worries.
Thanks, Prickles.
Thanks.
See you next week. Have a great week.